You're listening to SBS News.
For a second weekend in a row, protesters defied COVID-19 rules on gatherings to attend anti-lockdown protests in Melbourne. At the Queen Victoria Market, violent scuffles broke out between officers in riot gear and protesters who said the arrests breached their human rights. Emma Isan, a vegetable stall owner at the Queen Victoria Market, says she understands the frustration of protesters, but says it's important to understand the bigger picture.
Too much stress, harm, too much lost money. I understand all the people, but we have to look in the other country what's going on. A lot of people die every day. A lot of people got coronavirus. We know. We are here. We are open. Still, we lost a lot of money, but we're going on. Continue with a little bit hope. The people have to understand. Stay home for a moment. A little bit more week, maybe 2 week, maybe 3 week. That's better. We lost our family.
Meanwhile, Metropolitan Melbourne is moving from Stage 4 restrictions to the first step of the recovery roadmap. Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews says residents can look forward to slightly more social interaction and time outside.
Social bubbles for those living alone or single parents. They will be allowed to have one other person in their home. Exercise is extended for 2 hours, split over a maximum of 2 sessions. And of course, as we move towards the warmer months, the curfew is extended from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. So an extra hour of that freedom of movement.
The number of cases continues to trend downward, with no new cases recorded in regional Victoria. That's pushed the region's 14-day average to 4.3. under the threshold of 5 set by the state government as the condition to ease restrictions. Daniel Andrews says that means regional Victorian hospitality businesses may open to dine-in customers this week.
It looks likely, but again, we have to wait and see the next few days' numbers, but it looks likely that in just a few days' time, regional Victoria will be able to take another step, which has direct bearing in relation to pubs, restaurants, cafes. They may look a bit different. They may be much more outdoor rather than indoor, but those businesses will be able to reopen.
But it's a different story for Melbourne, which recorded 41 new cases and 7 deaths, 6 of which are linked to aged care outbreaks. Victorian Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton says it's been hard controlling outbreaks in the aged care sector.
There is that 48-hour period before symptoms develop when you're infectious. And so there are some household contacts of staff who are acquiring it. And of course, there are residents who can have some challenging behaviours or some wandering that is also hard to manage from an infection control point of view.
Melbourne's 14-day average of new daily cases has dropped to 56.9, but that's still a long way off of the target of an average of fewer than 5 new daily cases and a total of 5 mystery cases over 2 weeks. Reaching that target would allow for the most substantial easing of restrictions in Melbourne from October the 26th, known as the third step of the recovery roadmap. University of Melbourne researchers who developed the modelling for the state's roadmap say the target of an average of fewer than 5 new daily cases is too stringent. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt told Sky News he would like to see the Victorian government relax its target.
And I think that the improvements in contact tracing and the statements from the University of Melbourne mean we really have the opportunity now to work with Victoria, for them to work with the business community, the academic and medical communities and the Commonwealth to redo the roadmap to have achievable targets which will help people with their mental health and their social wellbeing and their economic wellbeing.
Mr. Andrews says it's important to get the settings right.
It's not just about numbers, it is also about the passage of time. And the passage of time is, I know, very painful and very challenging for businesses and for families. But in terms of taking safe steps, it is a positive thing.
The state of emergency has been extended for another month. To ease the pain for businesses, the Andrews government announced a $3 billion support package of cash grants, tax relief and cash flow support. Industry Support and Recovery Minister Martin Pakula says the announcement takes the state government's total business support to more than $6 billion.
This business support is about ensuring that we get as many businesses through this next few weeks, get as many of them ready to come through the other side to go back to trading, whether they be in retail, whether they be in hospitality or elsewhere.
In Queensland, the medical community has spoken out in support of the state's chief health officer, Jeanette Young, after revealing she has been subject to online trolls over recent decisions on quarantine exemptions for funerals. Australian Medical Association Queensland President Chris Perry says Dr. Young has the organisation's full support.
We have seen a lot of quite personal attacks on our chief health officer. She's a woman. She's very highly qualified. The stress is on her, and all we can say is back off. We think this chief health officer is doing a great job of the chief health officer in Australia. She is probably par excellence. She is probably the one they look up to the most, and leave her alone. She's doing a good job. We support what she's saying and doing.
Queensland has recorded no new cases of coronavirus. In New South Wales, 9 new cases were recorded, 4 involving overseas travellers and hotel quarantine, 4 linked to known outbreaks, and 1 community transmission case that is under investigation. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian says vigilance must be maintained.
As we continue to stabilise the numbers and hopefully keep them low at the rate we're at, I don't want complacency to creep in. It's really important for us to stay focused. It's really easy for us to get a bit complacent and say, oh, the case numbers are low, we don't need to worry, but quite the opposite. Unfortunately, until there's a vaccine, we have to be on our guard. Every day is a battle. Every day is a challenge.
Regional tourism in South Australia is set to get a boost, with the state government injecting $20 million to upgrade regional infrastructure and experiences. The funding is expected to create 1,400 ongoing jobs. Premier Stephen Marshall says while the state's tourism industry has been one of the hardest hit, there's been an increase in the number of South Australians travelling across the regions.
There is a lot of appetite to upgrade, whether it be accommodation, whether it be a new cellar door, whether it be a new experience, a ride or a tourism activity. There's been a slight silver lining to the COVID-19 for regional tourism. In fact, in some parts of South Australia, they're saying that not only are they where they were at this time last year, some of them are saying that they're double where they were at this time last year.
Meanwhile, Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt says he's buoyed by the news of the resumption of clinical trials of the AstraZeneca Oxford coronavirus vaccine. Clinical trials were suspended last week over a reported side effect in a patient. The federal government has ordered 34 million doses of the vaccine to be distributed next year if the trials prove successful, with it hoping to gain early access to 3.8 million doses for distribution in January. Mr. Hunt told Sky News it's important that safety comes first with vaccine development.
We'll continue to review the evidence, but each day I'm quietly becoming more hopeful and more optimistic about the prospect for vaccines for Australians in the first half of 2021, with the earliest available in the first quarter of 2021.
And you can stay up to date on coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.